Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning,
and welcome to the roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. Dr. Bessie, talking to mothers and daughters around the world. Sam, and my co-host Cynthia Oliver. She's out there. Let me get my gear on, as they can say. Say good morning, good morning, good morning. Here, let's make sure that I was moving a little slow this morning, getting everything in place and thinking. So I'm trying to get my headsets together here to make sure that you can hear me. Let me go to the switchboard. Got to make it so much easier to make sure I'm heard. Good morning, Cynthia. How
good
are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm good. I'm good.
Great.
All
great,
is
great,
well
great.
With
just
you?
Just want to make sure. Yeah, everything is
loud
good.
Loud and clear,
yes.
My dear.
Very good. I was trying to put my headsets on, but then I'm thinking, well, how am I going to know it's really working if I don't hear somebody's voice? So let me just go to the switchboard. I'm talking and thinking that everybody's hearing me and may not. So good. It's a good day.
You got a little crackling going with the headset, but I hear you loud and clear. It just sounds like some clicks are going on as you're talking.
Yeah, that's the way it sounds like with you.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I don't know if it's
mine
or yours,
what that is.
But But I hear you.
Okay, well, we don't want to have the crackling sound because that stuff will come across bad for audio. I'm still crackling. Can you still?
Yes, you're still crackling. Let me take mine out.
Let's...
I'm going to take out my headset, and then I'm going to let you put your speaker, and then I'm going to see if you still hear it. I don't hear it now.
Okay.
Do you say something now?
Okay. Are we clear?
Yeah.
Audience,
no,
please
you're not
us.
Clear.
I'm not? Okay. Well, audience, you know, it's technology, so we'll do what we can do. Let me...
Do you hear me okay, and are you still hearing the crackling?
Hold 1 second, Cynthia. Audience, hold 1 second. Just going to take my headsets off, and we'll go another route.
Because I don't hear the crackling now.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, audience, we appreciate your patience. Sorry about that.
The crackling has ceased.
Okay, it's probably dealing with my headsets. All right, so we're having a good morning this morning. Thank God that we're here. We're up and moving around. Just didn't want it to be irritating to your audience. Sometimes with headsets, the system works, and sometimes it doesn't. So I don't know. I have no idea why it does what it does. But in the meantime, again, good morning. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting at the round table with co-host Cynthia Oliver, as we engaged in a conversation this morning that God has placed on our hearts to share with you. How was your week, Cynthia?
You know what? My week was good. Can't complain. I can, but I won't. Had this dental procedure, which was very interesting. But other than that, all is well. And again, thank you for being a great friend and business partner and of the community. And that's an inside discussion, guys. But I just wanted to publicly thank you, Dr. Fletcher, that we work so well together and that we continue to take care of each other as sisters in Christ and mothers and daughters, how it should be. So I really appreciate you, and I want to say that publicly. So thank you so much. We continue to do what we do in Christ Jesus, and all is well. I cannot complain.
Well, same here. That's what we're here for. God placed us together for a reason, so we're just going to keep moving. All right, with that being said, would you like to do the prayer this morning?
Absolutely. Dear Father, we come thanking you, Father God, for your mercies, thanking you for this is the day that you have made. I have chosen to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, God, for the movings of our limbs that we are able to get up and do what you've called us to do. We thank you for normal body functions this morning, Father God, that we're able to sit up and speak and do what you've called us to do. We thank you, God, that something will be said on the air, that somebody's lives will start to change from this day forward. We thank you, Father God, for integrity. We thank you, Father God, for obedience in this ministry. We thank you, Father God, for continue to lead us in the path of that you have for us in this ministry. We know, Father God, it's your ministry and not ours, and we're just simply continuing the path and the walk of Jesus. We know that we are his arms and feet here on earth as he sits in heaven with you. So we thank you for that. We thank you for choosing us. We thank you for Deborah. We thank you for Linda Thomas. We thank you, God, for all those who have been part of this ministry in somehow, in some way. We thank you for our students and the population you've given us to serve. We pray for each and every one that has been affiliated with this organization, for the 12 plus years that I've been part of it, and then the other years that Dr. Fletcher has stepped into the call. We continue to thank you for her obedience and walking this thing out. And we thank you, Father God, that we are determined to walk in your greatness, the gift that you have given us, and that is to serve your people. No other gift we have better than to serve. As Jesus told his disciple, he came to serve and not be served. So therefore, we thank you for calling us to serve. Thank you for purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Wow, I tell you, time goes by, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's coming up, man. It's coming up. Yeah. We've been doing this a minute, Dr. B. We've been doing it a minute. I met you in 2009. This is 2019. Plus, I was doing it a couple of years prior to meeting you. And so it's been about 12 years that we've been working, and you've been doing mothers and daughters since the 1990s, if I'm not mistaken. You've been doing it a minute. Since 1999, been doing this a minute.
Yeah, 20 years this year. Wow, this is just a celebration. It'll be 20 years. And I started doing. I got the call in July. Yeah, I got the call in July, and I had the first mother and daughter workshop in September. Up in the Boston area. I was up that way doing some. Back, I was living in New Hampshire at the time. So, yeah, it is this July will be 20 years. Wow. I didn't even think about it until you said that this morning, and it just, I was like, wow, time goes God, 20 years, you know, and just a blink to God. And then how many times have we heard ministers say, oh, I was in it for 20 years, but then all of a sudden God moved. So maybe this is our year, you know. Whatever it is, we're going to do it every day. Like we know.
Amen.
We're doing
determined.
The way we do it, you know.
Absolutely.
Mothers and daughters,
absolutely.
Anything that you're doing with God, you can't put the time frame on it. And it's amazing. You know what we're talking about now is what God placed on our heart. It's just amazing. You wait to hear the topic and what I'm talking about. That is a thank you, Holy Spirit. Why are you amazed? You know, the truth is the truth all the time. That's what I tell you. When you hear somebody saying the same thing and one preacher's preaching, the next preacher's preaching, the Holy Spirit is getting the truth out. It's the same. They're going to say the same thing because the truth is the truth. A lie will change on you. It will be this one moment, something else the next, but the truth is the truth. And when we get into this message, mothers and daughters, you're going to hear what we just talked about, what the Holy Spirit led me into this morning, and I just love it because then I know that's confirmation that we are on the right track and we are in His will and we are reporting the right message. All right, I'll be right back with you. I'm Cynthia, and then we're going to open it up as an open dialogue, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. All right, audience, you know, and sometimes Cynthia and I say, God says, look at them. Why are they amazed? Don't they know that I'm God? You know, but it is. We're spirits in a human body, and these human bodies are amazed sometimes at how God speaks to us and moves through us and do things that, you know, we're just like, wow, look at God. Yeah, He's like, look at God. Yeah, look at God. Look at me. All things are possible. All things are possible. Okay, so now, again, for the newcomers coming on, I'm your host. I am Dr. Bessie, sitting here at the round table with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, and we are talking to mothers and daughters around the world, literally talking to mothers and daughters around the world. You just never know who's on the internet and Facebook and all that these podcasts are transformed and transferred to and who's listening. So you can't put a number on it. You just know that it will go. I do. I feel that it will go where God wants it to go. And the people that He wants to hear it is going to hear it. And my job is just to deliver whatever the Holy Spirit says and try to do it as accurately as I possibly can. So, again, we are here at the round table talking to mothers and daughters around the world. We are based on Ezekiel 16:44. We like to pull that in every once in a while, just to remind you that God said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. And there's no getting around that. There's no getting around that. Because as a little girl, she's going to see her mother. And she's taking images and pictures of you and memories and things are going in her subconscious mind. And she's going to think that's the way to do it. Because what we see is what we believe. As children, until we seek the word of God and find out the truth, you know, as little children, they only know what they see from their mother, and they gather evidence from that, and then they practice that. Even with their doll babies, they practice. If the mother spanked the child, the little girl is going to spank her doll. You know, we practice what we see. So we are given a charge by God to be the best mother that we can be by seeking Him as our guidance. By going through Jesus Christ and finding out what is the best way you want me to raise this daughter. And sometimes we just get so caught up in the world and work and things that we're doing. We go to church, we take the kids, we say, well, if we go into church and we take them, they hear the pastor. But the pastor can't raise your daughter. The pastor can only motivate you and teach you the word of God and give you something to go back and study and seek and talk to God about for yourself. The pastor cannot raise your daughter or your son. It's going to be that's a parent's responsibility. And so usually mothers, you're the one that's getting up saying, okay, get up, let's get dressed, we're going to church. But then you got to have church at home. They got to know that God lives in the house with them and not only in the church.
Because if you keep doing it that way, they'll think, well, the only way I can meet God is in the church. No, God is here in the house. Let's pray. Let's talk to God here. You can talk to God anywhere you go. We've got to raise up a whole new generation. We've got to raise up our young daughters to know God may select you to be a mother. You never know. He decides who he's going to select. Everybody's not going to be a mother. But God may select you to be a mother. And as mothers, we need to train our daughters and prepare them that God may select them to be a mother. And what does that mean? So that brings us to our stimulating topic this morning. Mothers and daughters, wait on God. Wait on God. That's interesting. The dialogue this morning was just so good. But you know what? This is a lesson for me. When the Holy Spirit gave me this topic this morning, and we were going back and forth in my intro conversations and verbally and then intro conversation and verbally, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden I said, you know what? This, you know, all of them are for me. Don't get me wrong. But this is something that we were dealing with this week. And all of a sudden, you know, when I'm asking in the morning, what are we talking about today, Holy Spirit? What do you want to talk about? You know, he'll slide something in on me when I least expect. And it's just say, mothers and daughters, wait. Wait on God. Just wait on God. And as we were dialoguing, I was saying, wow, this one is really for me. It answers some of the issues. I got the answer this week, but it just reinforced some things that I was dealing with this week. All right. If you want to contact us, you can call us at 347-539-5078. Any Saturday morning between 10 and 11, we are on. Or you can go to our website at mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in boy, N as in Nancy, O-R-G. And you can listen to us live on our website. Or you can go to Blog Talk Radio and find us there as the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. Our stimulating topic this morning is mothers and daughters wait. It says mothers and daughters wait on God. So get your pen and paper and your favorite drink, as I say, and relax. You know, make it a good thing. Just chill out Saturday morning and listen, because God is going to say something that's going to touch your heart. And when he touch your heart, you know, that's something that you, when we get off the air, then you go back and you start talking to God and you say, God, you know, okay, tell me a little bit more about what you meant when you said this and when you, you know, spoke to me about this. You know, don't just shut it down. Inquire. Ask him. Ask him for understanding. Wisdom without understanding, it's not a good thing, because all you have is words. Wisdom are words. Understanding is the depth in which those words are the meaning of the word. What does it really mean? And when you get the meaning, you get revelation. Last week, our stimulating topic, I deleted it. I'm sorry. We ran, I think it's on blessings, mother and daughters. And the blessings, I think. You can go to our website and look it up. But I ran a show, an older show last week, because I was in South Florida and I was teaching at the prison. And so on Saturday morning, I had to go back. So I apologize. I don't like to run other older shows, but sometimes we have to do what we have to do. I can't be two places at one time. But the week before, we were talking about mothers and daughters thanking Jesus. That was Easter weekend, being able to say thank you because of what, you know, Jesus done for us. It was more than putting on a dress and a hat and getting a new bag and some shoes and going out and looking your very best. It's about what's in your heart, you know, and really saying thank you. Because when you think of being hung on a cross and nailed, your hands nailed and your feet nailed, and they pierced you in your side, and they're spitting on you, and they're putting thorns, a crown of thorns on your head, and pushing it down so the blood can come out, and blood is pouring out from everywhere, and you're sweating blood. And I mean, you, nobody but Jesus could ever do that. None of us. We're not equipped for it. So just when you think about it, just commune with him and just say thank you. Thank you. Because none of us could do what he does. And that's what that was about. So now, again, it brings us to our topic this morning, mothers and daughters wait on God. Mothers and daughters, when we ask God for help, we usually have a time frame in mind, and it is usually now. When we ask God, we expect for God to do it now. It's like, God, I need your help, because it's usually when we come, it's an emergency. It's a now deal. Got to have it, God, crying, not crying, whatever. Lord, I'm scared, you know, they going to do this. I'm going to be put out, or, you know, Lord, I need your help. But, you know, it's always an emergency. Usually an emergency, let me say it like that. But you don't want to do that. You want to be in a relationship with God that you talk to him at all times. But even when we have a daily relationship with God, and we're talking to God throughout the day, we have a set time for God, we prepare for God. When we ask God in our prayer for help, we expect him to do it right then and there. And sometimes it's not a conscious thing. It may be an unconscious thing, because you know God, you know what he can do, you know he's capable of doing it, you know through Jesus Christ all things are possible. Then when we ask God, we are saying, God, I need you to do this, and we're expecting him to do it right then and there. It's amazing how some of us can go through our lives and not even think about God until Sunday morning. On our way to church, we have God on our mind. We put the Christian music on, getting ourselves tuned up to get into the church so we can walk in with our churchy state of mind. I've heard the songs. I've sung it. Going and driving in the car, and I walked in the church. I got my churchy state of mind on. I'm greeting everybody, and in my mind, greeting the ones I don't like, but saying, I'm just going to do it anyway because I'm in church. And then when we leave church, if you don't have a relationship with God, you may not think about God no more until next Sunday. Until something happens in the meantime. And, you know, it's amazing if you think about it, mothers and daughters. God allowed things to happen. And he allowed things to happen for a reason. You know, we've heard, most of us, hopefully you have, says God is a jealous God. He don't want you to love money. He don't want you to love things. He don't want you to love pleasures. He wants you to love him. Because those things are in competition with the love of God. To like things is one thing. But when we say, I love my car, I love my house, I love my job, I just love my dog. I just love that restaurant. You know, you're putting those things in the same category with God. He said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He's telling us to love humans, to love him as he loved us. Never did he say to love things. And he tells you straight, to love money is the root of all evil. And if you love God and you love money, something's wrong with the picture. You can't love both, because God is good. Money is evil if you love it. It's the root of all evil. But when we ask God for something, we expect him for God. You know, this is God. If God tells you something, he's going to do that. Yes, he is. But what happens when you tell God something? God allow us to get to something that will bring us to our knees and we cry out for help. Not that he's a mean God. He's trying to help you stay focused. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to help you stay focused, mothers and daughters. And mothers, the way that you handle the situation with your relationship with God, your daughter's watching you. And she's going to model her relationship with God after the way that you, the model that you show her, until someone else, until God sends someone else across her path to direct her into another direction, back to his word. But he's expecting us mothers to be the one to prepare ourselves, because he's chosen us. We have been one of the few that he has chosen to bring a human into the world. And he wants us to prepare our daughters to bring a human into the world. But that human will go through the same training and expectations and experiences that the mother had with her mother, unless God sends someone else across their path to show them the light, to show them the way. If we are not doing that as mothers, he's going to trust us to a certain point. But when he sees that we are not doing a very good job with the children, somebody else is coming along. There's going to be a grandmother. There's going to be a lady in the neighborhood. There's going to be somebody at the church, at Sunday school. God, there's going to be a special teacher that says something that changed that child's life. God is not going to let us corrupt his humans, the body, because it has a spirit in there that he's sending for a specific reason to serve on this earth. So we have to get it. As mothers, it is an honor and a pleasure to be selected. How many women out here are crying out to God, God, why not me? Why haven't you selected me? Am I not good enough? We don't know why God select. But if he selected you, he's expecting you to do what you're supposed to do when it comes to mothering your daughter or your son. He's expecting you to do that. So it's okay for God to wait on us. But when we need God, we want him to move at that very moment. And if an hour go by, you're back on your knees crying and praying again. Are you, God, talking to God? God, what God you said? But God, but see, that's not faith. When you ask him, you believe it, and you move on and you don't doubt it. But when you keep coming back to God, then you're exercising doubt. It doesn't seem like it, because the enemy wants you to think, oh, well, see, you just need to say it again. You need to remind him. He said this, to pray without ceasing, but he didn't say to beg without ceasing. That's the difference. Prayer and always begging. Prayer is thanksgiving. I come to thank you, Father. Give honor and praise to you, and I just thank you. And every time you think about it, thank you, God, because I know it's done. Thank you. You don't know the time frame, but if you believe God, then you rest in that. You rest in that. I was doing some research on vows and promises, and so I'm talking to God and communicating back and forth. And then I'm looking back at a time frame. What's the first time I talked to God about this and this agreement? And I look back, it was just a few months. But yet every day I was like, okay, well, God, you know, I done what I told you I'm going to do now, God. I'm waiting on you to do what you got. I know you're going to do what you're going to do. Not knowing that was the dumbest thing I possibly could have done. Because what I'm doing is saying, okay, God, I done mine. Now you need to do yours. How many times have God done his and I didn't do mine? But yet, it's like the spot in somebody else's eye and the log in your eye. You looking, I said, my God, I had to repent. I said, Lord, I am so sorry. Because I made a promise to God back in 2011 or so. And didn't fulfill that promise. So I'm here reading and researching. The Holy Spirit is reminding me of some things. And I'm, you know, reading and researching. And then I made another promise to God. And God simply reminded me, you need to fulfill the promise that you made to me. He didn't give me the year, but I remembered it. I knew exactly what he was saying. You need to fulfill that promise. It's like, I'll take this promise. I'll do. This is the promise we've engaged in. But I need you to go back and fulfill that one. You left that one undone. And that's something we have to look at, mothers and daughters. We make so many promises to God. God, if you do this, I'm going to do that. And then when he does it, you forget. They're called vows. You forget. So I went back and I fulfilled that vow that I did for God. But then I started watching the timeline. I said, okay, I've done it, Lord. Now I know you're going to do what you say because I've done what I said. And then this week, the Holy Spirit said to me, isn't that amazing? I'm paraphrasing it. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, God didn't rush you. He could have, because he doesn't like you to lie to him. He could have given me some consequences. But because I didn't know the fullness of what I had done, he gave me grace and mercy. And that's what God does for us, mothers and daughters. He gives us grace and mercy. But see, I can't pull that trick ever again. And not trick for the sake of trick. I take that word back off. I can't pull that state of ignorance again, because now he has well versed me with knowledge and understanding that this is not an area that you play with me in. And he allowed me to correct something that is very powerful to God. So back in the day, whenever anyone wanted something, they would go to God and make a vow to God, but they had to do it. Ananias and Sapphira made a vow, and they broke it. Dropped dead right then and there. But thank God for Jesus. There's grace and mercy. But he'll tell you, don't do it. So, when we ask God for something, we usually get into that mode of Matthew 7:7-8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. You know, that's a good one to ride in on. God, you told me to ask, and I asked. And I've been seeking you, and I'm seeking you, and I knocked. And I'm just waiting because that's what you told me to do. So I'm expecting you to do it. And then in 8, he says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. So I say, we expect God to honor his word. But don't you think God expects us mothers and daughters to honor our word to him? How many times have God asked us to do something
How many times have he seeked us out in an area wanting us to do something? How many times have he knocked on the door of our heart and we didn't open it? See, we want God to do for us. We want God to wait on us to get ourselves together. But then we don't want to wait on God. We want him to come right now, do what you say you're going to do, and so I can go on with my life. But that's not right. We expect God to honor his word, but we don't think that God expects us mothers and daughters to honor our words to him. That's what we do. It may be an unconscious kind of thing, but you think about it. How many times have you told God, if you help me through this situation, if you take care of this, I'm going to do this, and then you don't do it? You got to go back and repent for those things. You got to clean all that up. So back to my story. I had to repent to God because I was putting God on a time limit. I was like, okay, God, it's been so many months now. Okay, God, and I'm looking at my time frame. I wrote the dates down. Okay, God, you know, because I heard other people say, you know, I made a vow with God and I talked to God and 2 weeks something happened, 30 days something happened. I'm like, okay, God. And to the Holy Spirit, had to get me in check. What are you doing? He didn't put pressure on you for all those years, almost 8, 9 years. You didn't fulfill yours, and then all of a sudden he got to do something in months. And I had to repent. It's like the man that went before the king and asked the king was going to take him and his family all out for debt. And he begged him, please have mercy upon me. Please forgive me the debt. And the king did. And he walked right out into the street and met a gentleman that owed him. Let's just say he owed the king $5,000. And this man owed him a couple hundred dollars. And he jacks the guy up by the throat and asked him for his money. And the guy said the same words, please have mercy upon me. Give me time. Please forgive my debt. And he said, no, you're going to pay me what you owe me, or I'm going to take you and your family out, type paraphrasing. And someone heard it and saw it and went back and told the king. The king brought him in. I forgave you all of that debt. And then you go out and you do that. Well, I can only imagine that's the way God look at us. I gave you grace and mercy, waiting on you to fulfill what you told me you were going to do. And now I got to move in your time frame? Wow. That really brought things front and center. And I said, you know what, God, I repent. I am so sorry. I'm moving on for this. And I did. I've done what I said I was going to do. You're going to do what you say you're going to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, where you want to do it. I'm good. I just simply took my little fanny right on down the road. Let me just go on and do what you asked me to do. See, that's faith. Because I know he's going to do what he said he's going to do. It ain't my business. It's when he's going to do it. I just know he's going to do it. So what we have to do, mothers and daughters, is wait on God, because he knows the plan. He knows exactly what's coming up every second of the day. Where you need to be, what you need to be doing, and who you need to be doing it with, how you need to be doing it. God knows all the plans. And you're not going to rush him. Just speed him up because you think that this is the right time or whatever it is that you desire. And if he gave it to us at this particular time, it could ruin all the things that he has laid out for us. He's a smart God now. He didn't just develop you without a plan of action. It could intercede and interrupt the flow in which he has designed for your life. Nothing comes up that God has not knowledge of. And God says, it is in Ecclesiastes 5:5. He said, it is better not to make a vow or promise than to make one and not fulfill it. So now what am I saying? We got to watch what we say. We got to watch what we say to God. God, if you these loose lip promises, because he said every word that we speak is going to be accountable. We're going to have to stand and account for them in heaven. And Lord knows, that's why I keep repenting, because my little lips have said a lot of words, and we've all made promises. And so not only that we make promises to God, we made promises to family and friends and debtors and people. And sometimes we make them with the good intentions. A simple thing at, well, let me get back with you. I'll call you back, and don't call them back. Or I'll do this. It, you know, it might be simple. Some people say, well, no, if I make a promise, I keep it. Everybody don't keep every promise. Let's just put that out there. It's impossible. Because we'll say things, if it ain't nobody but on the phone, or even say it to ourselves. We don't keep our own promises. We'll say, well, when I'm going to do this, I'm do, and we'll change our minds within our own self, the promise that we make to ourselves that we're going to do something. So, no, there's no perfect person, and we do it. That's why he says better not to do it. And then he comes back, and he says in Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. He wants, and what does that mean, mothers and daughters? It means that we need to think before we speak. Before we say we're going to do something, we need to think about it. Because once it come out of our mouth, that is a vow. That is a vow between you and God and that person. Because God hears you. And the sin is to say you're going to do it and not do it. And that's it's tough. I mean, it's tough. When I, now, like this morning, this lady called me and was talking. And I went to tell her, I said, well, I'm just looking around right now, but let me get back to you. And just as I was going to say that, my spirit said, are you going to get back to her? Because I was in the middle of doing a radio program, and I didn't really have a phone number. And just as the Holy Spirit was saying that to me, I said, well, you know, let me just say this. I'm not ready right now, but I'm just kind of looking around. But thank you for calling. I had to back that thing up because, see, I'm being trained now. If you say it, you better call that lady back. We just can't do loose lip Lily and just say what we want to say and think it's okay and just forget about it. Will I make mistakes and do it? Yes, I probably will. I ain't no doubt in my mind. That's a lot of thinking. But Lord have mercy. God is putting it on my heart. You got to think. And this is part of the preparation for where he's carrying me. You've got to think. You've got to repent when you know you've done wrong, because that's the way you get cleansed. God will forgive you, and you move on. You cannot go without repenting. And when something come out of your mouth, be the first one to repent. Go to God quickly. I am so sorry. Be a David. David was a man after God's heart because he was repenting all the time, all the time, all the time. He just, Lord, please, you know, and the one thing he said, I do anything you want to do to me, Father, but don't take your Holy Spirit, because I can't even imagine living on this earth without the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me and being able to talk to. And I can only imagine what David thought. You know, back then, God selected him to talk to him, and if God shut him off, what would he do? you're dead. Like Abraham. He didn't talk to Abraham for what? About 12 years. Why? Abraham was out of order. But can you imagine when God spoke to Abraham, how glad he was when God only spoke to a very few people? Now, through Jesus, we have the opportunity to speak to God all day, 24 hours a day. And he listens and he hears. But he still expects for us to be careful with what we say. He said, life and death, the power of life and death is in the tongue. So that's why he says, be careful what comes out of your mouth. Your tongue will say something that could cause you to go straight to hell, will cause you to sin. But it also can give you life if you use it to repent and say what God said. Use his words to get life. So when we want something from God, we got to treat God in a loving fashion like he treat us. We got to love him, and we got to wait on him, and we got to believe him, and he will surely come through. That's our part. Now I'm going to go to the switchboard. Okay, good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. B, again.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting subject matter with regards to when we met in March, when we did our vision boards, and how we are all in waiting some kind of way for God's promises. And the thing you have to ask, that God promised that, or is that a hope of yours? And so I think we kind of get confused with God promises versus what we're hoping for. Did God promise you that? And so I'm really, really careful about saying what God will do, because nobody knows what God will do, and God doesn't do anything. He doesn't, what he does for another person, he does it totally different for the next person. So I hear people say all the time that he did it for them, he'll do it for me. But you don't know how he's going to do it for you, and you don't know when he's going to do it for you. Just because he did it in a day for them, a day, according to scripture, is like a thousand, one day is like a thousand days or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing here. But I'm reminded of scripture, and the scripture came out of Isaiah 40, and you can read the entire Isaiah 40 when God talks about how he will renew your strength as you wait. The scripture pointedly says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I'm just going to give a little backdrop on what that means, what I've learned that means. It says the prophet Isaiah uses wings like eagles in the same way, attributing the great characteristics of eagles to those who remain faithful to God. You mentioned faithfulness and being in obedience quite a bit in your commentary. And he looks forward to those heavenly rewards. When we are trusting God, there's a scripture that talks about we can trust God, but we don't know how God is going to do it. God say he will, when we mount up like eagles, that means that he's going to give you what you need to rise above the present circumstances. If he don't do it today, you know that you have what you need in him to wait, and you can wait patiently. We want God, like you said, to move expeditiously, but we want what we want when we want it. That's that human nature. Isaiah he's communicating is the promise that God will provide. He will provide, first of all, in all of your waiting, he will give you the strength to wait. He will give you the courage to wait, to overcome that obstacles of anxiousness, because God tells us not to be anxious for anything. if Israel would only have the patience and have trusted God in his sovereign timing. Remember, that trip that they took was supposed to be an 11-day trip. It ended up being 40 years because they lost the patience to wait on God. And he was guiding them the whole time. But somehow they were anxious. And I'm constantly, Dr. B, repenting for my anxiousness and my anxiety and my fears. So God tell us not to be involved in any of these things. He says, fear not. I keep going back, and I've read it a couple of times this past week where he tells us in songs and he asks the question, why are you discouraged? Why are you so sad? And so within that chapter, he says that same thing a couple of lines down. So God knew we would be anxious. He knows the human nature. So it's okay, audience, that you're tempted to go there in your anxiousness. But God tells us not to be anxious for anything and to wait patiently. And so in all that we do and all that God allows, it's for us to learn patience. He may not change your circumstances immediately, but he'll give you what you need to rise above the circumstances until his timing. It's not easy, but it's doable. It takes a lot of focus on God and not that thing that you want. Because that thing that you want, he tells us to be hungry, but to be full at the same time. In other words, we can still hope for things, but keep your eyes on him and not on that thing that you want, because that's where the anxiousness comes in. Keep your eyes on him, knowing that he's able. Keep your eyes on him, knowing that he can raise you above the circumstance, even if he don't change the circumstances, when you think he's supposed to change it. God has no prospective person. God has no prospective time. His timing is already predestined. I believe that with all my heart. And God is going to do what God is going to do. And he's going to bless accordingly to his plan for your life. Do we know what he's going to do? Absolutely not. Do we get impatient? Absolutely. But we have to know what Dr. Fletcher said. We have to know what to do when we feel anxious. We have to repent and ask God to forgive us for our anxiousness and all of the anxiety that goes along with it and all of the doubt and all of those things start to come up when you are anxious for something. And if you love God more than you love that thing you're asking him for, you will learn to rise above those moments of temptation because we all have them. Isaiah is a perfect example of God giving you what you need, and that's the courage and the strength to stand until he deliver you out of that circumstances. He may not deliver the way you think it's going to go, but God will deliver you if you just wait on him and let him do it the way that he's going to do it, but it's not easy. And I think, thank you, Dr. Fletcher, that we're having this discussion this morning, because that has been something that I've been struggling with for the last couple of weeks. And he keeps bringing me back to Song 17, and which it talks about how we're not to be disappointed and we're not to be sad, because he knows exactly where we are. And he has given us what we need to rise above the circumstances until he delivers us out of it. How does that deliverance look? I don't know, because it's all according to his plan. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Wow, that was good. He always comes when we need him, and this is healing for you and I, as well as mothers and daughters around the world. Mothers and daughters, when we come, like I tell you, I'm the student, and I share my lessons during the week or the month or whatever that God has taught me. It could be a year ago he'll tell me to share something that he's taught me, because we can only share what we know or only give what we have, you know, to give. And so I thank the Holy Spirit for just, you know, teaching me
and allowing me, he wants, and using my body to speak to you. So I went through that this week. That was my learning curve. And then Cynthia is saying that she was dealing with it, and I'm sure many mothers and daughters out there are dealing with it, because the body is just out of order. The body will, the body wants what it wants. It's something. That's why I say you have to kill that body. You have to kill the body, because if you don't kill the body will have you all over the place. It gets hungry and want this and lusting and want to buy this dress and want to look this way and I not pleased with the way I'm shaped. And, you know, the body is just that temptation just flows right to the body because the body wants what it wants. You have to be so spiritually connected to God that you can kill the body and say, no, that's not what we're going to do. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to do it according to the word of God. So, yeah, it's interesting, Cynthia. And I thank God.
Yes, let me correct. I'm sorry. Let me correct that scripture that I gave. I said Psalms 14, but it's actually Psalms 42:5, verse 5 and verse 11 that he poses those same questions. So that's Psalms 42:5 and verse 11.
And what is it?
Go
said?
Ahead, Dr. B. I apologize.
No.
Huh?
No. What are you correcting? You're saying the songs,
I'm
but
correcting.
What is it?
I gave a verse with regards to God questioning and asking, he asked in the verses, why are you so discouraged? Why so sad?
Uh huh. Okay.
When we're tempted to be discouraged in our wait, God is asking us, don't you know, like you said, don't you know that I'm God, that I'm able to deliver you out of whatever I allow you to go to? So why are you discouraged? Why are you sad?
Yeah, God is depending on us to trust him. And that's why I always say the cornerstone for me in the whole Bible is Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. If you don't have faith in God, none of it works. That to me is the cornerstone. That's the center, and everything else is around that. You got to have faith in God. Jesus had to have faith in God. He was calling out, okay, Lord, okay, Father, you know, if you say so, this is rough, but if you say so, that's having some faith.
Yeah, and my cornerstone, not to be, if you don't mind, my cornerstone is that, it slipped my mind just that quick. My cornerstone comes from, oh my God, what scripture? It'll come back to me. I apologize, audience.
But I'm not saying
cornerstone. No, you're saying what you stand on. You stand on the fact
that you got to have faith in God.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the cornerstone for the Bible. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Let me just explain what I mean. The cornerstone for the Bible is Mark 11:22. Because the whole Bible, even the Old Testament and the New Testament, is based on them believing in God. Abraham had to believe God. All the prophets had to believe God. Jesus had to believe God. The New Testament, all the prophets had to believe God. So I'm saying that's the cornerstone for the Bible. Everything is based around God. And it works when you have faith around God. But it's not my personal one. That's the cornerstone for the Bible, that it's about God.
Gotcha, because none of it matters if you don't have faith in God. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And
nothing works. Yeah.
Nothing works.
Yeah.
So we can look at all the Bible verses we want, but if you don't have faith in God, you're just reading some words. And then you can't believe in Jesus if you don't have faith in God, because that's what he's teaching you, to believe God and to say he is the creator of all things. So when you get that, you know, we just got to know. And then we got to know that he's an almighty God and he's the God of all knowing. And he has the plan. He created us to be a part of his show, not us to create and bring him into our little sideline show. We in his play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my take on it, like you say. You know, everybody mm-hmm. has their own take on it. You know, I'm just sharing mine, you sharing yours, and then we go right back to the thing, God. Have faith in God, and all things are possible. What a great
Amen.
Show.
And that's it
Miss
right
Deborah
there.
Today.
And that's it right
yeah.
there. Have faith in God. All things are possible.
All things are possible. All things are possible.
Yeah.
And then we just what? And what we have to do? Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait.
And in that
and
waiting,
in waiting
we are,
when you're
God is protecting our patience.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God, thank you for the lesson today. This is beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you, audience,
Amen.
For listening. I hope that this is a blessing to you. It was certainly a blessing to me. It cleared up some stuff that I was dealing with this week as well. So I'm going to do what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit telling me to do, and I'm going to go somewhere and sit down and keep doing what I'm supposed to do as far as the Lord and not even worry about what we talked about because God's got that. He's got it.
Amen.
I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, audience, that's our show. Cynthia, thank you very much. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
You're
Father,
very
Son, and
welcome.
Holy Spirit. That was
thank
a
you,
great
Holy
message.
Spirit.
Great message.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I am, as they say, I done preached myself happy. I got something to live
all
off
right
of.
Now.
All right,
absolutely, girl. It'll keep us going.
Yeah, it'll keep us going.
All
right.
Right.
Have a good
bye-bye.
Day.
Bye-bye. Have a great one. Love you.
Bye-bye, audience.
Love you, audience. Bye-bye.